Good morning. Ross, would you pray to open our Sunday school? This morning, we're going to be looking at the rebuilding of the temple in the time of the book of Ezra. So you want to turn to Ezra chapter 1, and your memory verse is Ezra 1:2, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of this earth, and hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." And Judah. Judah. Same place, Fred. No problem. Just yes. I said Judah when I said it to John earlier, I believe. Okay, now what you have here is the book of Ezra. This is taking place around 539 BC. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, had conquered Babylon. The interesting thing about it is Cyrus was prophesied that he was going to do this 200 years before he was alive. Okay, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. And look at the last verse of the chapter. "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, into the temple thy foundation shall be laid." By the time this takes place, Isaiah's long gone. He prophesied it. Okay, now you're going 539 BC. That prophecy was given, you know, roughly, I said roughly 200 years before that, and Cyrus is mentioned by name. Do you understand that? He's given by name 200 years beforehand. You have a heavenly Father who knows the end from the beginning. Don't ever lose sight of that. When we get all worked up about what's taking place around us, and then we get worked up, you know, and I spend a lot of time, and someone says in counseling, they go, "Yeah, but this might happen, or this could happen." What are you going to change? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when that anxiousness comes up, I want you to understand, take it to the Lord, take it to people you want to pray with you or pray for you, but give it to Him, because you're just going to have your hair fall out or turn white. And I know this from the voice of experience, because I was a blonde before we started this building here. But by the time we got done, I was white-haired. Okay, and it was not as thick as it used to be. So I know, as I'm talking to you, I want you to understand, I put my socks and shoes on the same way you do, one at a time. But he was turned around, he was named by name, and God had moved in the heart of this king to allow the Jews to return from Babylon, because Babylon had been beaten by Persia, and Cyrus allowed them to come back so they could rebuild the temple. This is also, I'll mention some of the other prophets that were there to help them go through with this. And Cyrus wasn't Jewish, but God worked through him to fulfill his purpose. Ezra was a priest and a scribe. He'd been in captivity. What you find in the book of Ezra, him recording the reorganization and the restoration process of the Jews. Because the book is about the release from the 70-year captivity to their homeland and the rebuilding of the temple. Zerubbabel comes first. You'll find his name mentioned in the book, and he oversees the rebuilding of the temple. Ezra comes back later and rebuilds the people. So what you have in chapters 1 through 6, you have Zerubbabel working there. He's the one who came back. And then you see Ezra rebuilding the people, restoring, preaching to them, and restoring the right heart with them before that. Because you got to remember, how long were the Jews in captivity? 70 years. Why were they in captivity 70 years? Because before this, they were commanded to let the land rest. When they took the land, they were supposed to let it lie fallow every seventh year. It was a Sabbath of the land. It was the Sabbath of the God. It's a special one. You can see it in there. They ignored it for 490 years. So they owed God 70 years of Sabbaths. 2 Chronicles 36. Did I mark this? 2 Chronicles 36. Look at verse 19. And they burned down the house of God and break down the walls of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him. This is to Nebuchadnezzar. And his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill what? The word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, so they did what? Jeremiah, so I want you to turn to Jeremiah 25. I didn't mark this. Jeremiah 25. Let me see here. Look at verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. See, another one. God's going to use the rulers, even if they're not Jews, okay? The king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing, in a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation and the lord of their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And he turns around and he shows, even though they were used to get Israel's attention, God held Babylon, he held Nebuchadnezzar. If you read in 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, you read what took place with Nebuchadnezzar. And he ends up extolling the Lord God of heaven, even though he considered himself a god. God brought judgment, 70 years. We do not have a God who reacts. He knows the end from the beginning. He works very slowly. He works patiently because he is first and foremost a God of mercy, and he gives time. And if you turn back to him, the judgment given does not come to pass. But when you won't, he will. Amen? You with me? So he kept his promise. They were 70 years, and that takes us to Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of this earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is at Judah. You can't get away from that. God's working. Look at verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, and all those whose spirit God had, what? Raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put in the house of what? His gods. Nebuchadnezzar did that to denigrate the God of Israel. And those were the things that were dedicated to the temple. The gold and the silver, the different, you know, in the original temple, it was overlaid with gold. Some things were made of solid gold. Silver was not really that valuable, but it was used there. And Nebuchadnezzar took it. You know, we have people in power who take and they think it's theirs to use instead of you who earned it. God has that. He understands. When it belongs to God, it stays with Him. And what I mean by that is you can't worry about what you give. Because when you give it to God, it's His. And eventually He will use it for His glory. I got saved April 10th, 1977. I started as the assistant pastor in this church. I believe it was 84. I think 1984. And we've watched God. I've watched time. Listen, I had a conversation. A Pentecostal came up to us on the street corner yesterday. And about 8 minutes for you and about another five or eight minutes for Mike Lang to finish up the preaching. And he's talking to me. And he wants to know the name of the church. And he went to some full gospel thing. And he goes, we don't see people on the corners anymore. And I told him about our church. He'd ask about that. The minute I said it was the Baptist, he didn't sound like he really wanted to come visit anymore. But I've watched and heard, because I once was young, and now I'm 69, okay? And in the time I've been in the pastorate, I've heard about at least 10 pastors who absconded with the funds, taking it as they were leading over a church, some Baptists, some not. Sometimes it's a priest, sometimes it's a Methodist, sometimes it's a Presbyterian, sometimes it's a Baptist, sometimes it's Assembly of God, and they think the money's theirs. And it goes on, and they get careless because they do it for quite a few years and nothing seems to happen. Then all of a sudden, God says what? The rent money's due, and you're done. And that's what you have taken place here. The furnishings of the temple restored and to the people so the worship could begin again. If you don't know what they are, you can read in your Bible and find out what the furnishings of the temple were. And then you got some fancy names, okay? You have Sheshbazzar. That was the Babylonian name for Zerubbabel. Cyrus made Zerubbabel governor of Judah, which wasn't, the people there living in the land weren't real happy about that. Okay, what you find out in Ezra chapter 2, and we won't read a lot of verses there, but you find out that about 50,000 had returned from the captivity. There was more than that taken, but 50,000 had returned. Some remained. In those that remained, you find the story of who? Esther. Okay? And Artaxerxes. Some stayed in Babylon and they were comfortable there with the idolatry. You ever see a person who got saved and they believed in God and then something happened bad in their life and maybe it seems like they're almost taken in captivity and they get comfortable in the world? They're as saved as you and me because Jesus is the one who saved them. But they've taken their eyes off of the one who saved them and put them back on the things of this world. And that's all idols are for, is to take you away from God. You know, Christians have idols. What do you put ahead of God? That's your idol. It can be your home. It can be your spouse. It can be your parents. It can be your children. It can be your job. It can be a lot of different things. And what we do is we get comfortable in that. And then God starts speaking to our heart. And whom the Lord loveth, he and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So you got to understand there. So they have this judgment come, and then you turn around, and it's time that people, some of them, it broke God's heart. They didn't want to come up. They didn't want to come back home. I'm talking with a person who's met a person. They're talking online, and the guy had gotten saved, and he turns around, and his parents, he got saved, but they're involved in one of those hippy-dippy, almost New Age Jesus churches, okay? And the kid got saved. His parents were saved, but everything was based off of the emotions and not off the doctrine of the Word of God. And that's people who get pulled away very, very quickly because you got to have a foundation. Otherwise, you're controlled by your emotions. And he claims to have gotten saved 3-4 times because he got involved with a church that teaches you what? You can lose it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Believing you can lose it? I don't know, but I can't go a second time into my mother's womb. I got born and that's it. Then I can die. Being born again, I wasn't born of the water or the flesh. I was born of the Spirit. And I can die when God dies. You ever notice back in the early 60s when the Methodist Church declared God was dead? They lost something that God didn't lose. And he'll not lose you. Amen? He never let go of the Jews. He didn't let go of them. And so they go back to the land. I want you to look in Ezra 3. Let me see here. And it says, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem, then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. They've returned. The altar was of such great importance because that's where the sacrifices were offered. Israel, without that shedding of blood in that altar, they could not approach God. And they had not been doing it. And the Bible teaches, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Preached on the corner yesterday. I think I heard Ed talking about it. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood. Christianity is a bloody religion. Just thank God it doesn't have to be your blood. Through the ages it has been, but not to get salvation. but to demonstrate the love for the one who gave us that salvation. The temple foundation was laid. If you look at verse 10, the altar was built first and they started sacrificing. Now look at this. Verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with the trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto God, because he is good, for his mercy endureth. How long? Toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now look what happens about the elder people there. But many of the priests and the Levites and of the chief fathers who were ancient men, I don't want any comments about that, that had seen the first house with the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, and they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You know what I've watched with Christians as they get older? Instead of looking forward to what God has done and continuing to try to do something, they look back at what their Christian life used to be when they had energy. Used to be when they still felt the call of God in their lives. Used to be when their eyes were full of the vision of what God was doing in their life. God wants us to keep our eyes forward and not backward. Even the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are and reaching forth unto that which is, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know when that pressing is supposed to stop, believer? When either the trumpet sounds or you stop breathing naturally. You're supposed to be pressing on. You ever notice how people sometimes, when they don't stay active in anything, they work, and then they retire? And then you hear stories about the person who retired because I'm not going to do nothing. And when they do nothing, they die. Your body's made to move. When it becomes sedentary, I don't care. Sometimes you can't move a lot, but you still need to. Right? You have to. The same thing is true spiritually. And God was trying to teach this to Israel. Don't ever stop. The only time you should not be in the house of the Lord is when you physically can't be in the house of the Lord. Sue's an encouragement to me. Do you know that? I can remember when she first started in the church. Karen had got her coming. Okay? She got started in this church. I remember Sue in a soul winning class. I taught a class on soul winning. And she's going, Pastor, I'm real nervous. I'm not sure I could talk in front of people. And she went through the class, and then she'd go with somebody. And I said, you can pray while they're talking. And eventually, she wasn't just praying. She was what? She was talking and witnessing. And she'd come to the street corner when she could come. Okay? Now, she's been through a lot physically in the last... more than 10, I'll just put it that way. All right? But where do you still see her? Okay? And she'll be here until she can't. Do you know that God loves that? Because you love him. There's a crown for that. I want to encourage you with that. God doesn't ask you to do something you can't do. He just asks you to do what you... Say it louder. Can do. It's not what you would do, it's what you will do. Amen? So they're there and they go back and build it, but then they have problems as they're doing this. Okay, watch. Ezra chapter 4. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asshur, which brought us up hither. That tells you that they were not who? They were in the land. They were, you know what they were? They're like those people who don't exist, the Palestinians. Nothing's new under the sun. Do you understand what I just said to you? The people they're calling Palestinians, they weren't there before. They're Egyptians, they're Syrians, and they brought them in because they don't want God's people to have the land he promised to them. Oh, we'll work with you. Mm-hmm. For we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon of Asher who brought us up. We do sacrifice, right? What does the word of God say? It is better to obey than sacrifice. And God, you find in his word, gives warnings because there were false sacrifices. When someone offers a sacrifice, we have a king in the Old Testament. And he was the choice of the people because he's head and shoulders taller than the rest. You know when he got in trouble? When he couldn't wait for Samuel and he did the sacrifice. You know what God said to him? You're done. See, because to obey is better than sacrifice. You got to do it God's way. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to what? To frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Nothing new under the sun, people. There's a saying, what goes around? Okay, you ready? 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they don't have any control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, see, we're with you, denying the power of. From such, do what? Turn away. Listen, you're in the world if you're saved, but you're not of the world. There were people who come in and say, just as you are. I can remember I'm working at Hammer Mill. I'm trying to witness the people. And there was this guy on the paper mill who had the filthiest mouth and told the dirtiest jokes. And when I was trying to witness to some other people on his crew, all of a sudden, he came in, he sat down, he goes, yeah, you better listen to him, he's right. I got saved about 12 years ago. You know what that told those unsaved people? It's just religion, it doesn't mean anything. Because he's no different than us. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs is after Ezra. Proverbs 19. Verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless what? Counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is in his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. Now, back in Ezra. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. If every person who truly claims to be born again and believes God's word voted according to their values, we would not have the trouble in this country that we have. They vote according to the pocketbook and not according to obedience to God's word. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even unto Darius, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote unto him in the accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So they said, we're going to help you, and then they're accusing. Okay, they tried to stop the work of God's people. They tried to get him to compromise. These people were not the friends of God. They pretended to want to help, but Zerubbabel could see through it. Ephesians chapter 6. Repeat with me verse 11. Ephesians 6. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the of the devil. You got to be ready. Got your armor on? Got your armor on? I'm asking you, don't always believe everything I say. Don't always believe everything Pastor Kinney says. Search it out. It shouldn't be when you talk to somebody, well, my pastor says, it should be, thus saith the Lord. I'm talking to a friend in ministry, he's struggling, he's in a new church. They joined the church because the pastor told him he was King James and he's trying to preach in nursing homes and in prisons and do other things, and it gets the kids involved, and it turns around and the pastor, after they join, says, well, I'm not really a King James person. I believe only, the only thing I believe is inspired is the Greek and the Hebrew. Which he's never had in his hands, the original Greek, the original Hebrew, it doesn't exist. Copies of copies. ...97% of all extant copies of the Greek and Hebrew agree with your authorized version, not with the other ones. Because the other ones come out of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which were controlled by the church I got saved out of. The man asked me, what do I do about this? And I said, well, your pastor's probably going to do this, 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 and this. And I get a text back and he goes, that's exactly what he did. And I said, because it hasn't changed. If I turn around, you know, I could amazing people. I could look up in my concordance what this Greek and Hebrew word means and then build my message off the Greek and Hebrew definition. So then you would think that I'm brilliant. You know I'm not. In the United States of America, there's not one Greek and Hebrew scholar who measures up to the Greek and Hebrew scholars who translated your King James Bible. We have guys go down to PBI. They take 3 years of Greek and 1 year of Hebrew. They do it to try to defend their Bible, but they're not scholars who've dedicated their life to the study of those languages. I'm on a hobby horse. I got to get off. They tried to stop the work. They made false accusations. They wrote a letter to the king of Persia that he should stop the Jews from building because they wouldn't pay taxes and would be a threat to everyone. See, if you don't pay your taxes according to the way you're out. Unfortunately, the king made them stop building. Look at verse 23 of chapter 4. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes, he's king, Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, amen. Copy of Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions. They went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them cease by the force of power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The enemies of God, people who pretended to be their friends, couldn't stop them, then went around it. And what do? They change the laws given to now make you a criminal. And you either cease and desist or you go to jail. Is there anything new under the sun? They stopped building for 15 years. Ezra chapter 5. God sent two men of God to help them. You have two books in your Old Testament written by them. You ready? Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that they were in Judah and unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. You know what they did? They started building again. If you read the book of Haggai, Haggai is used of God to rebuke the people because when they couldn't build their building, it was God commanded them, they went to building their houses and not God's. See, wrong idol. I'm not telling you can't build your house, so forget about it. Mike and Carla are building their house. They're also being involved in ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Seek ye first the and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. But they left off doing God's work to only do what they wanted to. Okay? Turn to Haggai. Okay. Haggai is right after Zephaniah. Does that help you? Which is right before Habakkuk. And I'm glad I have a cook. Haggai chapter 2. You ready? Verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Who's the desire of all nations? Jesus Christ. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And in this palace I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now they interpreted that as being applying to them directly, but we know prophetically that's a reference to the millennial kingdom and to the millennial temple. Because that's the only time peace comes. It's when the Prince of Peace is here. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. They told him that the Messiah was going to come. You know, I don't know about you, but that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Even though some of the older were sad because of the appearance of the temple they were building, because they did not have the riches that David set aside for Solomon his son to build the temple. The second temple, when it was built, it didn't have all the gold and the silver and stuff. Many of the things now done were done with brass, which has lesser value. So you had Haggai and you had Zechariah. And Zechariah gave them encouraging visions that the Lord was on their side. He answered their questions. He told them the Messiah was coming. And after 15 years, they started back up again to build. Opposition came as usual. They asked the king, who is now Darius, to go and dig up the decree of Cyrus, because the law of the Medes and Persians was not to be altered. Guess what they found? Turn to Ezra chapter 6, verse 7. Ezra 6, verse 7. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree that ye shall do to the elders of the Jews for this building of the house of God, that all the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forth with expenses, be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and of rams and of lambs and of burnt offerings of God and of heaven, the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to all the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given to them day by day. What does it say? Without fail. That they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all the kings and the people that shall put their hand to alter and to destroy the house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done. How do you think that sounds? What do you learn from that? You know what you learn? Opposition to the work of God is normal. Comment that was made by the people on the street corner in Wilkie yesterday said, people were friendly here. It was really good. Karen was there. And I said, that's not how it normally is in Wolcott. Normally, Wolcott can be one of the nastiest places we street preach. Oh, and just so happens that Fulton was worse this last time than Wolcott this time. There's going to be opposition. I don't care what you're doing. Did any of you see any struggles that took place during vacation Bible school? Some of you don't even know some of the stuff that happened dealing with people who went to camp or things that happened at camp. You don't have to know them. Just know that the devil's not happy when you're trying to do God's work. And don't get your eyes off it. Sometimes you start thinking, well, why isn't God protecting me? Because God is looking at the big picture. And you know what? If your baby doesn't struggle, they do not walk. When a person stops walking, pretty soon they can't walk. You have to put heat to metal to make it stronger. You ever hear that saying? It's going to come. It's normal. Instead of looking and saying, God is not happy. Why isn't God blessing me? And you know what you need to do? Say, well, praise the Lord. God must be working. Working in my heart as I go about it, or in the heart of other people around me. You never know quite what God's going to do. Amen? He's working. So what do you do? Don't get discouraged and don't give up. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's an Old Testament promise to the children of God. You not only have God with you, you have God where? The indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you. So in Ezra 6, we see the temple restored. In verse 15 and 16, because we're going to finish up. And the house was finished, Ezra 6:15. On the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius, the king, and the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of the house of God with joy. Look at verse 19. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Look at verse 20. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Look at verse 21. What was the result of that? When you got your heart right, you got right worship, you're doing the right things. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such that had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. They separated themselves. Come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Well, I've had to talk to people this week about it, so let's turn there. We're coming back to Ezra 6. We'll finish it, the last verse, but I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sure probably the teenagers heard stuff somewhat about this or around this topic. And in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He's talking about not being like them. You can't not be in them or with them. If you're going to do that, go live in a monastery, and you don't reach anybody for Jesus Christ, and you're disobeying the word of God. Okay? But they separated themselves. What are we called to do? We're Baptists. You know what the P of Baptist stands for? The priesthood of the believer. I'm no class above you or anything else. We're all called of God to be go-betweens between God and the lost and the lost and God. We pray to God for them and we witness to them for God. They separated themselves. They purified themselves. Now look at verse 22 and then we can say amen. You ready? And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord hath made them, what is it? Are you joyful? And turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, and strengthened their hands in the work of the house of God and the God of Israel. God gave them joy and strengthened their hearts and their hands that they might be about the work God gave them. Yes, John.
What you're saying is basically there's no consistency in us as people. That we can have the armor of God one day and not have it the next day. Is that what you're trying to portray here?
Yeah, because
The Bible moves in and out away from God consistently. It goes near God, then it pulls away from God. It goes near God, then it pulls away from God.
The way you stated that, someone might be confused. The Bible doesn't ever pull away from God. The Bible teaches that when we take our eyes off the Lord and put it on ourselves, we end up pulling back away.
It gives the illustration.
Yes, it illustrates it over and over again because it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the hope is found is that when we pull away, we have a God who's so merciful, but when we turn back to Him, He's ready to receive us again. That's what it is. He's always ready. I tell people all the time, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. I pulled away from God, and I've lived this. And I said, while there's breath, while there's life, there is hope. We think we walked a long ways away from God, and I'll give the illustration of stopping. And you're pulling. God is here. And we're walking away, and you don't feel God in your life. The minute you turn to Him, He's there. Do you You understand what I'm saying to you? And he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? All God's people say amen. Take a break.